more information on what you've heard? Have a travel question or comment? Just log on to petergreenberg.com. Now, here's Peter.
Peter Greenberg here as Eye on Travel continues from Camp Randall Stadium in Madison, Wisconsin. Of course, you know the drill. You can always reach me. Just email me, peter@petergreenberg.com, with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it on the air throughout every show that we do. Let's go out to the phones right now in Henderson, Nevada. I've got Laura on the phone. Hey, Laura.
Hi.
How can I help you?
Well, Peter, I'm looking at flights from Savannah to Fort Lauderdale in January, and I've found that Allegiant is incredibly cheap. And I'm very wondering for your advice if it's reputable.
All right. Well, let's start with one thing at a time. It's a nonstop, correct?
Yes, which okay. I love.
Me too. Number two, what day does your cruise leave?
The cruise leaves January 4th.
And what day do you want to fly?
We were going to go actually on the 4th, believe it or not. I know that's a no-no.
That's a big no-no. A big no-no. You can't do that.
I know. We have to figure that out. I'm probably going to convince my sister that January 3rd we can get hotel in Fort Lauderdale, and then we'll be okay.
Tell your sister if she goes on the 4th, she cannot come complain to me when you miss the cruise, okay?
I know.
All right, so now let's back up and talk about your original question. You want to know about Allegiant. Allegiant
right.
is an excellent airline if you know exactly where you're flying and why you're flying. They have a nonstop from Savannah to Fort Lauderdale. That's a plus. You already know that.
Right.
Now, they don't fly every day. You have to understand that. Be careful of that. They don't have a lot
right.
of frequency, but they do have routes that I like, because you don't have to go through somebody else's hub, and you get there. And, of course, you mentioned it, they're relatively, emphasis on the word relatively, inexpensive, because it's a plus,
yes.
it's a plus-plus situation. You're going to pay for your bags. You're going to probably pay for your seat. You're probably going to pay for everything short of water on the plane. But let's face it, Laura, the flight from Savannah to Fort Lauderdale is not a long flight.
Right.
So
right.
bottom line is, if you can get the Allegiant flight that leaves on the 3rd, even if it leaves on the 2nd, take it. Don't take it on the 4th. If there's any weather
okay.
or any mechanical, you don't have a plan B, because there's no airline that interlines with Allegiant that would accept their ticket in the event they don't operate on the 4th.
Okay.
So now, there's one other thing you can do. And I do this all the time. Let's say you want to fly on the 4th. Remember, I told you not to do it. But let's say you do. What time does that Allegiant flight leave?
I believe like 9, some early 9 a.m., somewhere in there.
Okay, so here's what you're going to do. Go ahead and buy that ticket if you still want to leave on the 4th, if your sister is still insisting. And then go out and buy, it probably won't be a nonstop, a flight that leaves also around 9 or 10 in the morning from Savannah that might stop in Atlanta on the way to Fort Lauderdale, or it might stop in Miami, and you buy a full fare refundable ticket. Remember, full fare refundable. So that if you get to the airport and Allegiant operates, guess what? You're fine. You refund that other ticket. If you get to the airport and Allegiant doesn't operate, or they're 5 hours late, you're still going to get out of Savannah and make your cruise.
That very good idea. I like that very much. You know, Peter, you mentioned the East Coast is going to have lots of fare wars coming up. And I wondered, somehow I'm missing it. When I try the big boys, they're very high. They're like
$500. $500 to go where?
Savannah to Fort Lauderdale.
That's ridiculous. That is unheard of. Well, the only reason why they might be $500 is it's only October right now. And you're booking a flight for January. They may not have adjusted their algorithms yet to figure it out. Or, you know, you're flying, what, 2 days after New Year's. So there may be a lot of, I don't know what day New Year's is this year, but I will tell you this, that may be high because people are flying back from their New Year's celebrations. That's the only reason I can think of. Other than that, At that time of the year, fares are going to be dirt cheap.
Okay. Okay. Then I'm going to still play with it a little longer, but your advice is very well taken.
But remember, Allegiant's airfares are going to go up too as you get closer to January. So protect yourself. Buy that ticket. I still think you should go the 3rd if they're operating on the 3rd. But if they're not operating on the 3rd, buy your ticket with your sister on the 4th. And then protect yourself by a full fare, refundable ticket, more than likely either on Delta or what other airline may be flying on that route. Well, it's probably going to be a one-stop. And that way you'll at least be protected and you won't miss the cruise, okay?
Perfect. I thank you very, very much. I listen to your advice. I'm an ex-Manhattanite from a million years ago. And every time I see your bookshelf, I cringe because I'm a librarian and I'd love to come and help you fix it.
Oh, yes. You and the Dewey Decimal System. We'll have to talk about that.
That's a whole other topic.
It is, Laura. Hey, listen, I appreciate the call. Let me know what happens, okay?
Peter, thank you so much. Keep traveling and be safe. Thank you.
Will do. And by the way, the advice that I gave Laura about protecting yourself with a full fare refundable ticket applies to anybody, even if you're not taking a cruise. It's the way you protect yourself where you have operational reliability issues with airlines. Gee, what a surprise. The plane might be late. You know what I'm talking about. And when we come back, we're staying here in Madison at Camp Randall Stadium with the athletic director for the University of Wisconsin, Chris McIntosh. Back with more from a Big Ten football weekend right after this.
Please remain seated with your seatbelt fastened. Eye on Travel will be right back. Need more information on what you've heard? Have a travel question or comment? Just log on to petergreenberg.com. Now, here's Peter.
Peter Greenberg back with you as Eye on Travel continues from Camp Randall Stadium right here in Madison, Wisconsin, a Big Ten football weekend. Of course, you can always reach me, even if it's a football game. Just email me, peter@petergreenberg.com, with your name, phone number, question or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. Let's go out to the phones. A little bit further south from here in Chicago, I've got Rob on the phone. Hey, Rob.
Hi, Peter. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. How can I help you?
I'm looking to book a trip to Greece next year in September. And using your advice, I've looked at the ASTA website for a travel agent. And I had two questions after doing that. How do I differentiate between the many agents that are listed on the website? And is it better to choose somebody in my local region in Chicago so I can actually meet with them in person?
Okay, well, let's first of all explain what ASTA is. That's the American Society of Travel Advisors. Yes, these are travel agents, and they're travel advisors, and they do live in a world of specialization. So you mentioned Greece. So they have agents that are specialists in Europe or specialists in the Mediterranean, and that website should be able to get you to somebody who is one of those specialists. They don't have to be in your neighborhood. They don't even have to be in Chicago. They just have to know what they're talking about, because what you want is somebody who's got preferred supplier relationships, let's say in Greece, who knows a guy who can call a guy who can call another guy, or if a hotel is sold out, they can get you in, or they can get you to experiences that you might not otherwise know about, or steer you away from experiences that might just be too touristic. But the bottom line is, you don't need the old school mom and pop travel agent that would take you on a cruise and send your kid to college. You want a specialist, a travel advisor who specializes either in Greece or the Mediterranean. And they're easy to find on that website. See what I'm saying? They don't have to be in Chicago.
Yes, sir.
They don't have to be in Chicago. But then, once you get there, what questions do you want to ask?
I don't hear anything specific at the moment, because I'm just starting to do my research. But then, you know, I would ask them, you know, some of the things that they would definitely recommend.
Okay, so let me fine tune a little bit for you here. First of all, you mentioned Greece. Do you have any idea where in Greece you want to go?
Well, we want to go to Athens at least for one day, but then, you know, more out to the islands and things like that.
All right. You got to go to Athens for like 3 days, not one day. That's number one. And then going down to Piraeus, which is the port, you know, Greece is nothing but great day ferries anywhere you want to go. And at that time of the year, by the way, September is now and will always be the magic month, at least in my book. The weather is great. It's not crowded. I mean, the reason why I say take 3 days in Athens is because, you know, you won't be climbing up to the Acropolis with 29,000 other people. You can actually do it manageably and without having to collapse from exhaustion in the heat. That's number one. Number two, which islands do you want to go to? They won't be crowded either. And a good travel advisor can tell you where you can have the best experience based on your own level of physical ability and your own affinities and interests about art and history and food and culture, right?
Yes, yes.
So do you own an atlas?
Yes, I do.
Okay, congratulations. Now's the time to start looking at it. Now's the time to start figuring out which islands might make sense. I mean, there's some wonderful islands. There's Samos and Patmos, and there's Paros and Antiparos. I mean, you know, we talk about, you know, Santorini, not in the summer you don't want to go. In September, you might want to go. In the summer, it's elbow to elbow. You don't want that. Same thing with Mykonos. Too crowded in the summer, but not in September. And that's the difference that you can do it. That also applies to hotel rates. It also applies to getting restaurant reservations. It also applies to taking day trips, even on the ferries. So that's where a travel agent comes in handy. But do your homework starting with the Atlas and then some internet search. Don't just depend on the internet. Make your notes on the internet when you do the research and then have that conversation with that travel advisor specialist who you're going to meet and hopefully work with. And there you have it.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Good. I hope you have a great time and order some Saganaki for me.
You got it.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
Hey, Peter, can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
Okay. On the ASTA website, there's maybe a dozen agents listed that are specializing in Europe. How do I differentiate between that many travel agents?
Here's how you do it. It's called have a telephone conversation. And the questions that you ask them is, okay, it says you specialize in Europe. What can you tell me about Patmos or Samos or Paros or Antiparos? Or, you know, what's the best hotel for me to stay in Athens? Who's the best tour guide to get me up the Acropolis? And if they can't answer that question, then they're not specializing in Greece. Simple as that.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right? We live in a world of specialization.
Yes.
You don't go see a podiatrist if your arm hurts you, right?
Correct.
All right. Now you know. Go get him, Rob.
Thank you again, Peter.
Anytime. You know, Rob's question is a really good one because anybody can advertise they specialize in a region. I want somebody who specializes not just in a specific location, but in a specific activity. Which travel advisor specializes in barge trips or bicycling? Or which travel agent specializes in Barolo wines in Italy? Or, you know, they do, and that's what you want to do. And it's okay to ask those questions, okay? And we'll be asking more questions when we come back as Eye on Travel continues from this Big Ten football weekend in Madison. That would be in Wisconsin right after this.
Please remain seated with your seatbelt fastened. Eye on Travel will be right back. Now, back to Eye on Travel.
Peter Greenberg back with you as Eye on Travel continues from Camp Randall Stadium. That's right, it's Madison, Wisconsin, Big Ten football weekend. Of course, you can always reach me, football or otherwise. Just email me, peter@petergreenberg.com, with your name, phone number, question or problem, and we'll solve it right here on the air. Let's go right out to the phones in Dubois, Pennsylvania. I believe that's in western Pennsylvania. I got Bob on the phone. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing today?
Good. What's the problem? How can I help?
No problem. Just, hey, thanks for taking my call. The question I have is, my wife and I have done some traveling. We've been, I worked internationally, so we had the opportunity to go to a number of countries such as Borneo, India, Bangladesh, areas there. One country, though, that's piqued our interest most recently is Iceland. And we're looking to travel to Iceland. The only issue that I might have is my wife is not really, it's difficult for her to walk for extended periods. And I know Iceland is great for trekking and some of the views and the sights and everything you have to walk into. So I was wondering what options might I have to view Iceland and what maybe the best time of year to go there.
Well, here's the cool part. Iceland's also great for walking short distances, too. You don't have to climb a volcano. The volcano is right in front of you, so not a problem. And there are many of them. But here's the thing. It's a very manageable country. The roads literally circle the island. And mm-hmm. what you want to do is hire a car and driver, that's one option, to do day trips out of Reykjavik, because I'm sure that mm-hmm. you'll be basing out of Reykjavik. And then, remember, here's an interesting story. I think 80%, I'm pretty sure I'm right about this, 80% of Iceland is heated by thermal energy. We're talking a volcanic island. So anywhere you go, you're going to see volcanic activity. And you can get there by car without taking a long hike from the road. That's number one. You can go to certain villages overnight and do day trips or evening trips there, which is great. Any travel advisor can set that up for you. Also, and I did this a couple of times, just outside of Reykjavik, I mean, literally 20 feet outside the city, you can do a helicopter tour, which will really get you a wonderful perspective of all that volcanic activity that surrounds the island, including active volcanic activity where you see the lava flowing. Now, having said that, there's one thing I do recommend, and that's going into one of the pools. Don't have to do heavy walking for that. Now, the one that most people know about is the Blue Lagoon. It's very close to the airport, and it's quite touristic, but it's amazing baths. However, the one I'm going to recommend for you and your wife is a much better experience in my book. It's the Sky Lagoon. And it's the Sky Lagoon. It's a great day trip. Talk about a great pool with a view. And I'm not going to tell you what it is until you see it. You will be blown away. And I promise you, she doesn't have to do a lot of walking or hiking.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Any suggestions as far as what time of year?
Well, if you're talking about what time of year, the northern lights are visible in Iceland. I can get you specific dates because it's not a question of when the northern lights are visible generally. It's when they're visible generally from Iceland. Because in that region, you've got the Faroe Islands, which are an amazing place to visit. By the way, if you are truly adventurous, that's a flight you can take from Iceland. Amazing. It's the smallest country in the European Union, but an amazing place to see the northern lights. So take a look at that as well. And in the capital city of Reykjavik, it's not a long walk, I promise you, but if you go down the main street of town, there mm-hmm. is an amazing father and son operation there. They make the most amazing watches. And and some of the most famous people in the world have been known to have their plane stop in Iceland just to go buy a watch there. And they're not overly expensive. It's just a wonderful thing to see. And if you're an aficionado of single malt whiskey, it might be interesting to you to know they're actually doing single malt whiskey in Iceland now.
Oh, wow. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And you can visit the distillery, which is quite remarkable when you think of what they have to do to be able to make single malt whiskey in that island of Iceland.
Oh, it's very, very interesting. Well, thank you very much for this interesting information.
Listen, call me back. Let me know how it happens, okay?
I will do that, definitely.
You got it, Bob. I really appreciate that. And again, what's interesting about Iceland, of course, is not just Iceland Air flies it now. I believe United and Delta also fly the route. It's only about a four-hour route from the East Coast. Very manageable to do it and very easy to get to. But if you do it smart with an airline like Iceland Air, you can go to Europe for a very reasonable cost, and they'll give you the free stopover, guess where? Right there in Iceland. Back with more as Madison, Wisconsin, and the University of Wisconsin and their football team continue, as does Eye on Travel, right after this.
Your flight might be late, but we're on time. Eye on Travel will be right back.